ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पश्चाद्यादेशकारिणे पञ्चकोपातरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरुणावतारिश्य मम वाचिनं प्रसिद्धं सञ्जीवयति शिवशक्तिधरः सदा अन्यश्च हस्तचरणश्रवणमो। We are celebrating tonight Bahulashtami, which is the holy appearance day of Radhakunda. So I'll say a few words about today's occasion. The appearance day of Radhakunda. Of course, it's very difficult to speak because according to Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, Radhakunda is the highest place of pilgrimage. This is the most elevated place in the universe. And the reason for this is very simple, but very difficult to understand. Radhakunda embodies love of Radha and Krishna. And according to our Siddhanta, love of Radha and Krishna is the highest goal of human endeavors. We all know that there are different purusharthas, or different goals of life. In ancient Vedic literature, it is said that people can strive for dharma, can strive for artha, kama, and moksha. Of course, nowadays people mostly strive for kama and artha. There is no dharma and there is no moksha. There is only two goals. People need money and people need some sense enjoyment. But the ancient Vedic system says that there are four goals. For people to be fulfilled, one has to start with dharma. Dharma is the beginning of all human endeavors. It is said, we were just in one ashram, and in this ashram it was written on the wall, Sukhasya Mulam Dharma. This is a Vedic ancient slogan that if you want to be happy, you should be dharma. You should follow dharma. So the beginning of human endeavor starts with dharma or religion, starts with following the codes of the scriptures. And then, you know, after that you get artha. It is said that artha and kama follows dharma as the little calf follows the cow. If you want to pull cow somewhere, you don't need to pull the calf. Calf will come on its own. Wherever cow goes, the calf follows. So all other goals are more or less based on dharma, according to Vedic literature. But Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is special in this regard, because we say that not dharma, and not artha, of course, and definitely not kama, and even not moksha is the real goal of human endeavors. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he said, Panchama Purusharthama. There is the highest goal of human endeavors, that is love of Krishna. Krishna Prema. The real love, which is completely free from all the contamination. And if we consider ourselves and if we really examine our heart, we will really understand that all we need is love. Whatever people do in this world, they do because of love. You know, whatever, you know, any impetus which human being have ultimately is based on the desire to love and to be loved. It may be love towards our body, it may be love towards our dependents, our family members, it may be love towards the whole country, the whole humanity, but it's still love. And ultimately, love is the main goal of human being. But only Gaudiya Vaishnavas very strongly emphasize that everything else is useless. Everything else is basically, if you do anything else, it ultimately will bring you nowhere. You will be frustrated. You can be very dharmic and you can be happy because of following Dharma. But in ultimate sense, your happiness will be destroyed by the inevitable force of time. So we want love and we want happiness which is atyantic, which is totally, completely, you know, unlimited. Doesn't have any end. And Srila Jiva Goswami in Priti Sandarbha, he proves very thoroughly and very philosophically that it's only love which we should strive for. Nothing else. He says that ultimately love of God has six characteristics which makes love of God ultimate goal of all human endeavors. He says that the first characteristic of love of God is that it can fulfill all your desires, whatever you want. If you have some desires within your heart, if you have love of God, this desire will be fulfilled. And he proves it from different Vedic scriptures. Then he says the second reason why love of God is the ultimate goal of human endeavors. And anything else will bring about frustration. You know, people do so many other things. They do yoga, they do meditation, they do, you know, just economic development. But everything else ends up in frustration. And everyone is frustrated in this world, to a greater extent or to a lesser extent. So Srila Jiva Goswami says the first reason why it is love of God which should be the goal of our endeavors, he says, because it fulfills all our desires. He says the second reason for this is that because it totally eradicates all the sufferings. If somebody has love of God, because he's connected with God who is Ananda personified, who is bliss personified, there is no question of him having any miseries or suffering. And, you know, actually any one of us, even though we don't have love of God, we may have a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of love of God. But still even this shadow of love of God subsides all the miseries within our heart. Srila Jiva Goswami says, there is no question of suffering when one has love of God, because the connection with this bliss personified is so strong that the miseries are totally, completely washed away from our heart, from our consciousness. And he says there are four other reasons. I hope you still can follow. It's a little difficult in the evening after full office day, but still. He says there is third reason why love of God should be the goal of our endeavors. He said, it's only by love of God we can understand God. Because there is no other way to understand Him. We are deprived of understanding of God by our bodies. Our sthula sharira and sukshma sharira, our gross and subtle bodies, they are the main impediment to see God. God is everywhere. God is, you know, everywhere. We are in God. We are connected with God, but we don't see Him and we say, there is no God. No, I don't see him. That's a good reason why he doesn't exist. It's a very strong logic. Srila Jiva Goswami says you cannot see him because you have the body, and the body is just filters him out. He just cannot be perceived unless and until we have subtle and gross body. But he says there is one way to understand God and to see God, that is way is called love of God. If you have love of God, you all understand God. Even in our normal experience, you know, if we want to understand somebody, if I want to understand this gentleman or this gentleman, you know, when I see him, I don't understand him. I don't understand where he's up, what he thinks. But there is a way to understand him. I have to love him. There is only one way to understand somebody, you know, especially if it comes to human being or to somebody who is conscious, is to love him. Then he can be revealed to me. If I don't love somebody, you know, and I try to understand him, it will be just, you know, it will be futile endeavor. I may sit and I may philosophize and I may, you know, use different psychological techniques, socionics or some other techniques. But ultimately, I will not understand the person. The only way to understand somebody is to love him. So, and this, much more so in case of God. And then Jiva Goswami says, this was the third reason why love of God is the goal of human endeavors. The fourth reason is that he says you can realize the opulences of God. Whatever God has, all the Aishwarya of God, only by love of God. And everyone is after opulences of God. And everyone wants to have some realization of his opulences. He says, that's fine. You can do it. But for that, you have to love God. And then there are two more reasons why love of God is the highest goal of our endeavors. It may be not the reason as such, but he reveals to a certain extent how love of God works. He said, you know God, understand God, to the extent you love him. It's not that the love is not black and white. It's not something you don't have now and the next moment you have. It's a gradual process of being attached to God. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, to the extent you love God, you understand him, you realize him, and you feel his presence in your life. The more you love him, the more he reveals himself to you, and the more you are in touch with him, so to speak. So this is another very important point which we have to understand, that this is a gradual process of loving God. And then there is the last reason why love of God is the highest goal. He says, because all other goals are included in the love of God. He says, if you know God as a person and love him as a person, you know Brahman, you know Paramatma, you know everything else. Whatever else you would like to know, whatever else you would like to experience in this world is included in this love of God. So basically, and of course, I mean, it's a very elaborate description. I am just very briefly trying to have a glimpse of what Srila Jiva Goswami says, why love of God is the highest goal of human endeavors. Ultimately, this has to be very clear to us that whatever else we try to achieve will not bring us ultimate satisfaction. It's only love of God, it's only prem, which will bring us to the ultimate destination. Anything else you achieve, you immediately want something else. You may try to achieve happiness in having some material possessions. You know, it's useless. Material things, you know, you may be happy for one day, for 2 days. You may get a new car, and you're very happy. For how many days? 2 days, 3 days, 1 week. maximum 1 week. And you're only happy because all the headaches of getting this car is gone. That's the only reason why you're happy. But ultimately the car, because it's insentient, it doesn't have any ananda. Material things don't have ananda. We need ananda, right? And ananda which is there in the material things, it doesn't exist. It's not there. You just imagine that if I have a contact with some material things, this TV, it's a very nice thing. You know? I can be very happy to the rest of my life if I have a TV. But ultimately, no. Ultimately, any material things cannot, by definition, bring any happiness within our heart. Because it doesn't have happiness. So, the next thing which we want to have is relationship with human beings. And of course, human beings, sentient beings, conscious beings, they have some ananda in them. And that's why we want to come in contact with them. You know, there is some mysterious bliss when we're in contact with somebody, especially if somebody is a happy person. You want to be with somebody who is happy. If your wife is happy, you want to be with the wife. If your wife is not happy, you don't want to be with the wife. Because ultimately we want happiness. You know, and if we meet somebody who is happy, we want to be with this person. Because it's kind of, we're sharing this happiness. We are more or less experiencing the same happiness which he experiences. And that's why even love among human beings is so great, is so high. You know, ultimately, this is what Indian culture teaches us. Indian culture still has some relationship with the people. In the West, it practically doesn't exist anymore. There is no relationship there. Everything is totally impersonal. You have so many gadgets to enjoy. But ultimately, because there is no relationship, because there is no love between people, and people becoming more and more dry, angry, dissatisfied. I recently spoke with one young person from Russian embassy. You know, Russian people, they're sometimes very nostalgic being in India because India is hot and Russia is cold. When I went to Russian embassy, I saw the paintings on the wall, and all the paintings, they depicted snow. All these pictures of Russia full of snow. It's like something like air conditioner. all these paintings. So this boy, listen, he told me a very interesting thing. He's a very young, modern boy, diplomat, works in the embassy. And he said, you know, ultimately I feel very, you know, homesick when I'm here. I want to go back to Moscow. Although I love India, but I want to go back to Moscow. But he says, when I go back to Moscow, I immediately feel that I'm missing something. And he said, what I'm missing? I'm missing people of India, because Russian people are very angry. He said, they're rough people. there's no relationship there. You know, the further you go to the West, the less relationship are there. If you go to America, it's so superficial there. You know, there is no deep relationship. Extremely superficial. Because of some cultural traits which are there in the foundation of the society. But India, ancient India, they know the most precious thing which is there is love. If you have love, you're happy. If you don't have love, if you are surrounded by people who love you, if you are with them, then you may be happy. But Srila Jiva Goswami says, even this is useless. Congratulations. Great Indian culture. He says, why useless? Because ultimately the ananda which is there in human beings limited, and you cannot have this relationship for a long time. the problem of human relationship is that it's very temporary. It doesn't bring so much satisfaction to our heart because of this temporary nature, and because this love, you know, that the object of love is constantly changing. He says that's another reason. Like, for example, if the mother loved the child, you know, the mother naturally loved children. But then when the children grow up, and they become very big, you know. You had a nice son, and you had very nice relationship with the son, and you were petting him, and then he's big like this. How you can laugh? It's difficult. You can't put him on the lap. You can't just, you know, he's too big. So Srila Divakasvami says, that's the reason. When, you know, we want some permanent relationship. But in this material world, it's very difficult to have permanent relationship because of the temporary nature of this world. Therefore, he says there is only one goal of human endeavors. Only one. This is love of God. Because God has unlimited bliss and he doesn't change. You can have permanent relationship with him for the rest of eternity. You can be totally, completely happy in this relationship, which is called love of God. And of course, we're celebrating Radha Kunda, and coming back to our subject, because Radha Kunda is the manifestation of this love. Radha Kunda is the highest manifestation of love of God. It took form of the water, but ultimately this is liquid prema. It is said in Skanda Purana, if on this day, today is Bahulashtami, and if we take snan in Radha Kunda on this day, and we all have chance to do it, probably not everyone at the same time. So, but it is said in Skanda Purana that if you take on this day, on Bahulashtami day of Kartik, on Ashtami day of the bright, of the dark part, dark part of the Kartik, then you will be destined to become a great devotee. And this day, Radha Kunda is especially merciful. She is very freely gives the treasures which are hidden there in the waters of Radha Kunda. It's always there. It's always liquid prema, but on this particular day, it's specifically merciful. On this day, probably 500,000 people will go to Radha Kunda to take bath. Of course, usually they bring pumpkins and throw in Radha Kunda because they want children. this is a custom. They think if they give one pumpkin to Radha Kunda, they will get some children. But this is a misunderstanding. Ultimately, what Radha Kunda can give, and Radha Kunda's water can give, they can give the simple love of God, which is very simple, and at the same time very difficult to obtain. Why it is difficult? Because we are not simple. We are complicated. Human beings are very complicated. We look in our brain, there is a lot of maze there, and we are all lost in this maze of our brain. There is a lot of different messes there, messes of our karma, and therefore it's very difficult for us to understand love of God. Krishna is very simple. You know, if we see these Rajasthani pictures of Krishna, it almost looks like a children's drawings. Not without a reason, because Krishna is simple. You know, Krishna is not, he's a very simple guy. You know, therefore he likes villages and he doesn't like all the cities. You know, when he was living in Dwaraka, he hated it in Dwaraka. He wanted to go back to Vrindavan. Because he's simple. And the whole story of Radha Kunda is about this. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada said Very interesting thing. He was following Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that Arishtasura is the pride. It's a manifestation of pride which is there within our heart, which makes us so complicated. He says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Arishtasura, who is the indirect cause of appearance of Radha Kunda, is the manifestation of the pride of rationalism. This is a very subtle manifestation of pride, but people are rational. And the more they are, you know, getting deeply into the problems of Kali Yuga, the more rational they become. As I said, you know, the more you go to the West, the more people are becoming rational and rational and rational, and they're trying to do everything very rational. So he, in a very rational way, if you know, therefore Western people, they have a hard time living in India because India is totally irrational. You know, especially if you drive on the Indian's road, there is no there is no rational understanding of how it works. But this is not the point. The point is that rationality can be the manifestation of our pride. It is the manifestation of our pride. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada, when he spoke about Arishtasura, he said Arishtasura is Aristotle. Aristotle was the... he said Aristotle Asura. Not without a reason, because Aristotle was more or less the founder of Western culture. And one of the big points of his philosophy is that God cannot do simple things. Believe it or not, this is one of the foundational cornerstones of Aristotle's philosophy, where he says that God is too complicated to do simple things. He just cannot do this. And that's exactly, you know, what Arishtasura was trying to do. On this day of Bahulashtami, Krishna was standing with Radha, and he was trying to enjoy with Radha. And how they enjoy, you know, it's a very simple thing. You know, how the young boy enjoys with the young girl, especially in the villages. It's not, I mean, it's a little sophisticated how they did it, but still it's quite simple. So, Krishna was trying to joke with her, and at this very moment, Arishtasura arrived in Vrindavan. And he was totally, completely angry, because he said, God cannot do simple things. You know, you're not allowed to do this. You're not supposed to do this. What kind of God you are? You're trying to enjoy with a girl, with a village girl. You know, what is this? It doesn't become you. It's not a, you know, you're God. You have to really understand where you are. You have to be somewhere there. So, and of course, Krishna, he easily killed Arishtasura. He said, you know, get out of here, my dear bull. You may be very philosophical bull, but you don't understand anything. But ultimately, this is a very specific thing, very important thing, is that, you know, when we try approach love of God from the rational point of view, it's an offense. We're like this Arishtasura. You know, if some people try to understand God from the strictly rational point of view, it will be like Arishtasura entering into Vrindavan. You can understand God only in Vrindavan. You cannot understand Him in any other place. Raghunath Das Goswami says that if somebody didn't take shelter of Vrindavan, which is sprinkled by the footprints of Krishna, you know, he cannot understand Krishna. He can just forget about this. So So when we are trying to understand God from the rational point of view, it's the same futile attempt as Aristasura is invading Vrindavan and trying to take over Vrindavan and take over the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. So this is a very important point, that love cannot be understood from the rational point of view. Therefore, it's so difficult to understand Radha-kunda. Because whatever we are trying to understand in this world, we are trying to understand from the rational point of view. We think this is the way to understand things in this world. But this method may be good in certain situations, but it definitely fails when it comes to Radha and Krishna, when it comes to Radha-kunda, when it comes to Vrindavan. Even Lord Brahma, he says, Noimidate Bravakushe, Tadidam Baraya, Gunjavatamsa, Paritichalasan Mukaya, Vanyasraje, Vishana Vetra, Vishana Venu, Vishana Vetra, Kavala Venu, Lakshmashriye, Mridupade Pashupangajaya. Even Lord Brahma says that I cannot understand you. Lord Brahma has four heads. And he knows all the Vedas. And he looks at Krishna and he says, you know, something is wrong with you. He looks at him and says, this is God? Too simple. Too simple. You know, it is said in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Mahapurusha, God, resides in Brahmaloka. And in Brahmaloka, God has thousand heads and thousand eyes and thousand hands and thousand legs and thousand navels and thousand noses. Pretty, I mean, very difficult picture to understand. And then, you know, Brahma says, yes, this is God, this must be God. It's too far out. Usually people have this concept, you know, that God has to be something really, you know, something really unusual. But, you know, we come and we say that God is the most usual creature. Like Brahma says here, Mridupade, Lakshmashriya Mridupade Pashupangajaya, you are born among the cowherds. You know, why cowherds? Why he is not a computer engineer? Much more befitting, or a big scientist, or whatever. No, but he wants to hide himself among the cowherds. He wants to be with the people who have simple heart. And in this simple heart, there is only one thing which is there, it's love. You know, God, I remember once I was speaking with one lady, she was a philosopher. And she said, you know, your picture of God is too human-like. I cannot believe it. I said, why you cannot believe it? Because, you know, because God cannot be like this. I said, how he can be? She said, God is a big mirror. I said, really? I said, no, God is not a big mirror. He is a cowherd and he is herding the cows. And she freaked out when she heard this. You know. She said, this is impossible, you know, this is crazy. But this is not crazy. This is the most significant thing which we have to understand, that God is simple. Sometimes when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we think it's too simple. You know, always Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
And like today we were in one ashram, and the Mahant of this ashram, he said he was from Vrindavan himself, and he went to study in Benares. And he said in Benares they study Nyaya, and they study Vaisheshika, and they study Sankhya, and they study Vedanta, and they study Ayurveda, and they study Jyotish. And he said in Vrindavan, you know, if you ask some question, they say just chant Ram 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 Krishna Krishna Krishna. That's it. You know, in Benares they have all this knowledge and everything. But in Vrindavan they say just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Ram Ram, Hare
Ram. Why? Because of this reason, this very reason. Love of God is simple. God is simple. And if we give up this complicated nature of ours, what is there within our heart, we are very complicated because we always calculate what I will get from this. You know, and sometimes we are very, you know, we are very far in our calculations. If I do this, and if I look like this, and if I smile like this, and if I say like this, then I will get something. But that's a complicated heart. This is the heart where there is no love. And love is there, there is no calculation. You just switch off your calculator. And you live with the heart. And then, you know, you don't want to have anything, you just love. You just want to give. When we want to get something for us, we always have to calculate. And oftentimes we miscalculate. We calculate, and make a mistake. But ultimately, if we want to give, and love means to give. Love is a simple thing because it's the most simple thing to do. You know, just give. Whatever you have, give. And don't worry about anything because, you know, Krishna will give you back much more. Of course, this is a calculation. But if you love, you just want to give. You just want to give everything which you have. And the more you give, the more comes by the natural law, because that's what we want. We want love. And if we want love, we don't need anything else in return. So when Radhakunda appeared, I mean, of course, first Shyamakunda appeared. When Krishna killed this Aristasur, he again wanted to enjoy with Radharani. And Radharani, she tried to play some joke with him. She said, "Don't touch me. You are contaminated. And I am very pure. If you want to touch me, you have to go to all the holy places and you have to take snan in all the holy places. Only then you can come and touch me." Krishna says, "No problem, I can do it. It's not difficult for me." And he made this Shyamakunda very quickly. And he called all the holy places, and all the holy places rushed into this Shyamakunda. But then Krishna, what he did, Krishna was taking snan for a long time there, because, you know, he would take one snan there and he would call the name of the holy place. He would say Ganga, and this was snan in Ganga. And then again he would again take a deep, and he said Yamuna, and took deep in Yamuna, and then he said Bindu Sarovar, and then Manas Sarovar, and then whatever else is there, Saraswati. You know, for a long time, and Radharani was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and Krishna was chanting the names of the holy place all this time. And then ultimately he said, "Yeah, I'm done. Can I touch you?" She said, "No." "No, you cannot touch me." And then she said, she became a little proud too, and she said, "I can also do this. Not only you can do this, I can also do my thing." And then she engaged all her Sakhi friends, and they took their bracelets and from the, you know, they started digging. And they dug this little lake. But it was dry. Nothing was there. And then she wanted to bring water from Manasi Ganga, and there was the whole chain of her Sakhis, and they were trying to fill it up, but it was really going slow. You know. They would put one pot at a time, you know, and the pot would go down. Krishna says, why you're so, you know, let's get into business, you know. Why you're so slow with this? Just ask me, and I'll ask all these holy places to come." Radharani said, "Okay, do it." So all the holy places went to Radhakunda, and Srimati Radharani, she took bus in Radhakunda, and Krishna took bus in Shyamakunda. and then they switched off. And from this time on, it is said that this is the favorite place of Lord Krishna. Why this favorite place of Lord Krishna? Because this is the heart of Srimati Radharani. Ultimately, this is her heart. Radhakunda is very deep. I mean, even from material calculations, it's quite deep. And it's very mysterious. Like this year, they did this cleansing of Radhakunda. And they found Kankankund. Kankankund is the original Radhakund. Radhakund which was dug by Srimati Radharani. It's rather small. But what they found, amazingly enough, they found that this Kankankund changed the location. Since the last time when it was there, you know, a couple of, I don't know, 20, 30 years back, they were cleansing Radhakund. It was in a completely different place, and it was bigger. Somehow or other, it's changed, even according to the pictures, the photographs which were there, they changed it. And I saw this video, probably some of you also saw this video, it's on YouTube. People who were cleansing this Radhakund, they were throwing mud at each other. And they were totally, completely muddy. But this is not mud. This only from the material point of view, it looks like mud. Actually, this is love of Krishna. Yeah. And therefore, sometimes Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they have tilak from this Radhakunda, this black tilaks from Radhakunda clay, which is there. But ultimately, again, the ultimate lesson of this lila is very simple. That love of God is very simple. It's the most elevated, the most amazing thing which is there, but it's at the same time the most simple thing, simplest thing which is there. And it comes by the most simple process, that is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I guess that's it. Thank you very much.